What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. Happy week. Happy week. What?
Happy week. You know what? It is a happy week because all of you guys that have been freaking listening to our podcast,
y'all are the cutest.
And then tagging us after we came up in your Spotify Wrapped, it has meant the world to us.
Like, bro, Haley and I both were literally crying.
Yes.
Actual tears yesterday because we are so overjoyed, overwhelmed, and just like humbled by y'all's support.
It means so much. And like you guys tagging us and showing us that we were like in your top podcast. I'm going to start crying again because it literally was just the best, coolest thing ever that we're like actually people actually listen to us and
you like you guys... us. You really like us.
Yeah. So thank you guys so, so much for listening this year and being here. And I know that's only a portion of our listeners because there's a lot of people that listen on Apple and other places too. So sorry if you can hear my baby pterodactyl
screeching. Yeah.
But yeah, it means so much. Thank you guys. It has made my week, my month, everything. And I know with Andrea too. So we love you guys. Thank you for all of that.
And we're super excited for 2024 because we are going to just keep doing what we're doing. And hopefully we'll be able to do more.
Yeah, I think
we bring you guys more content.
We have some big changes coming up in 2024. And I think it's going to bring a lot of really positive things to the podcast. So stay tuned. Yeah. I know that that's like, tuned. I hate when people do
that. Our new catchphrase.
Yeah. But stay tuned. But seriously, I think 2024 is going to be a freaking awesome year. And we're manifesting it. And we're going to make it happen. So seriously, stay tuned. We love you guys. Stay and tuned. Now we'll stop being all mushy and blabbing.
Get into horrible, horrible tragedies. And this case is, I mean, it is a very sad case. And it's sadly unsolved. And I wanted to share it because it's been over 27 years since this murder took place. And I've never heard it. So I wanted to share you guys because it really made an impact on me just reading about this man and all that he did in his 64 years of life. And I just hope and pray that his killer or killers can be brought to justice sooner than later.
It is never too late for justice.
It sure isn't. So today I'm going to be sharing with you the murder of Abe Liebewahl. It's been over 27 years since 64-year-old Abe Liebewahl was gunned down in front of the Nat West Bank in East Village, New York. So on March 4th, 1996, Abe had been at the bank dropping off a $12,000 deposit from his place of business, the Second Avenue Deli, when he was robbed at gunpoint and killed. The perpetrators have never been caught, and today Abe's case is still unsolved. If you have any information about Abe's case, please call the New York Police Department Crime Stoppers at 1-800-577-8477. You can remain anonymous, and all calls are confidential.
Awesome.
But now I want to share with you the life of this wonderful man who had the biggest heart and whose work ethic was unprecedented. Abe Liebewahl was born in Ukraine in 1931. From the start, Abe had a challenging life. During World War II, when the Soviets occupied Western Ukraine, Abe's father had been arrested and exiled to Siberia. Abe and his mother were displaced to Kazakhstan. Thankfully, their family was able to reunite in Poland, and they did everything they could to survive.
Wow.
Can you even imagine that? Like,
that
just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
In 1944, the Liebewalds illegally escaped Poland, making their way through Austria to a displaced persons camp in Rivoli, Italy. They had survived the Holocaust.
Wow.
Goosebumps. Yeah. Amazing. But what they endured, I mean, was probably the stuff that nightmares are made out of.
Yeah.
While living in Italy, Abe's parents had Abe's baby brother, Jack. And Abe and his family spent the next 5 years in Italy before immigrating to America in 1950. North America, I should say. At 19, Abe very quickly learned English and began working as a soda jerk at a deli in Coney Island, New York. Which I feel is like just so cute and just that. So indicative of the times. Like,
I know. I could just picture like him doing that. I don't know. It feels right.
It does. And I'm going to share pictures of him. He had literally the biggest, brightest, best smile I've ever seen. It like just looking at his face made you smile. By myself while I'm researching, I was smiling at this man in his picture. So during his lunch breaks, Abe would volunteer to help out behind the counter. He wanted to learn the way the restaurant operated. Soon, Abe advanced to the coveted position of counterman, and over the next several years, Abe worked in a number of deli kitchens, learning the ins and outs of traditional Jewish delicacies.
So he was, like, determined to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yep. He had a drive from the gate. The Liebewalds lived in a low-income area of the Lower East Side of Manhattan. In 1954, Abe, along with the help of two other partners, managed to scrape up a few thousand dollars and took over a tiny 10-seat restaurant on East 10th Street. And there, the Second Avenue Deli was born.
Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode.
In the early years, Abe ran the restaurant basically on his own. He worked around the clock, cooking, cleaning, and running the front counter for years. Abe was determined to make his little establishment a success. After years and years of sacrifice and struggle, Abe's American dream became a reality. So first, he was able to buy out his two partners, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Then his business grew so much that he had to expand from the 10-seat restaurant to a 250-seat restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
The Second Avenue Deli became a certified kosher Jewish delicatessen. Abe's reputation for not only having great food, but also his generosity attracted people from all over the world to his restaurant. He even had celebrities like Muhammad Ali, Joe DiMaggio, Bob Hope, Mel Brooks, Jerry Seinfeld, Jon Stewart, and Joan Rivers frequent his restaurant on many occasions.
Dang, that's so cool. I want to go to his restaurant.
I know. That's what I said. I was like, I want, because like, I don't know, when the few times I've been to New York, I always like would try to look up the best places to go to eat because, you know, yeah. They're known for their food, the best pizza, but everyone says they are the best pizza and they are the best hot dog and they are the best this. But now that I know that his deli has such a big reputation,
Yeah. It's
if I ever go back, I'm going there.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go there too.
I know.
But it's like an Elf when it's like world's best coffee and he goes and he's all excited. It really is. Everybody says they're the best. But this clearly sounds
especially in
like
New York. It's like the signs are everywhere. Like the best. Yeah. The deli easily became the Big Apple's most well-known delicatessen. Despite his growing notoriety, Abe stayed as generous and humble as ever. Mm-hmm. There was no doubt about it. Abe loved people and he loved food. He wanted his restaurant to be more than just a business. He wanted a community, a family.
Okay, and boy, it literally sounds like,
dude, I was crying while I was researching this. I'm not even gonna lie. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take much to make me cry, but yeah, it's just the things that he did, and I'm gonna get into more of that in a minute, but it's just gonna blow you away.
Such a freaking cool person.
Yeah. So if you remember at the top of the episode, I mentioned Abe was known for his big heart.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why was because anytime a homeless person on the street was hungry, Abe always made sure they had something to eat. In the winter, Abe would allow a homeless person to warm up in the catering van so they could get out of the cold and have a warm place to rest. Another instance that showed his true gentle character was when a new hire at the deli needed money so he and his wife could afford to adopt their child. Without any hesitation, Abe gave his employee the money and never asked for a penny back.
Oh my gosh.
Another time, Abe personally drove a 100-year-old customer to the tailor from the deli because he couldn't get a cab.
What a just genuinely kind person.
I know. Just
like selfless.
A big giant heart, honestly. Yeah. Another example of his stewardship was when he flew to England to cater a wedding so the family of the groom didn't have to pack deli food in their suitcases.
Oh my gosh.
I know. He also regularly went out of his way to deliver a Shabbat meal to an elderly woman every week, which if you're unfamiliar, Shabbat meals are three meals that are eaten by Shabbat observant Jews. And the first is usually eaten on Friday night, the second on Saturday during the day, and the third is usually eaten late on Saturday afternoon. Abe's admiration in the community continued to grow, and so did his charity work. He would host community events, raise money for various organizations and charities, and he became so well-liked in the community that they even referred to him as the mayor of Second Avenue, or the Jewish Mother Teresa. Wow. So that says a lot.
Yeah.
In 1958, Abe married the love of his life, Eleanor, and the couple went on to have two beautiful daughters, Sharon and Felicia. Between his two daughters, Abe would have five grandchildren whom he loved and cherished dearly.
Aww.
According to an article in the New York Times, Abe had a daily routine of picking up bread at 7 a.m., leaving the store around 9 to make his daily deposit. On the morning of March 4th, 1996, he did just that. As Abe was about to exit the delivery van outside the bank, at least two masked men confronted him. They pushed Abe back into his vehicle and shot him three times.
Oh my God.
They dragged him out of the van and left him to die in the street. Gasping for his last breath, Abe exclaimed, "They shot me." And then he passed away at the scene.
Oh my God.
The killers made off with $12,000 and sped away in the delivery van, which they abandoned just one block away on First Avenue.
So did they literally just do this to steal the money?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like. Less than a year earlier, in the summer of 95, Abe had been robbed at knife point, and many of his employees offered to escort him to the bank. But Abe declined their offer and told his employees not to worry. I know.
Because he just didn't want to, like, bother anybody.
Right. And there's no guarantee that if they would, like, someone else would have been there, that this wouldn't have happened. But it's just, it's heartbreaking that that's a reality that people have to face, you know, being business owners, taking deposits to banks, things like that. But just knowing that he was robbed just a year earlier and then this happens, it's so heartbreaking. Abe's family and friends believe that whoever killed him that day planned out the attack and knew Abe's route. Some even believe that the robbery may have been an inside job.
Oh.
Which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Abe's killers discarded the chrome-plated Raven 25 caliber handgun in Central Park, which was later found by a pedestrian. Investigators performed ballistics tests on the gun, but it didn't lead anywhere. The bag that contained the deli's deposit would turn up the next day on East 25th Street, and Abe's wallet, which they also stole, was located in a dump truck the day after on East 30th Street. All of New York mourned Abe's death. More than 1,500 people attended his funeral at the community synagogue on East 6th Street. In tribute to his memory, a park was named after Abe, the Abe Liebewald Park. And the park is host to a green market and a summer concert series. It also contains a memorial flagpole that was dedicated in 1944 by the Ukrainian American Society. There also stands a beautiful statue of a lion holding a shield in the park as well. And I'll share pictures of that because it is a very beautiful park and the statue is very beautiful.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. So Manhattan South Homicide handled Abe's case with Detective Jimmy Piccone leading the investigation. They soon learned that the murder weapon was also linked to a double homicide that occurred at the Sawmill River Motel in Westchester County. Then police discovered that the gun had also been used in another shooting 2 years earlier in the Bronx. Investigators could not say definitively if the same culprits murdered all of these victims since, as we know, illegal firearms often pass through several criminals. And since they had no real evidence to link the crimes together, there just wasn't much to go on. So they didn't know if it was the same people that committed this crime as well.
Okay.
Detective Piccone stated that every day they would come into the precinct and go over the information they had to see if they missed any details. Investigators would try to look at it from different angles. Being that it was 1996 and there was no surveillance footage around the vicinity of the bank, they just didn't have a lot to go on. However, there were some convincing statements from witnesses, and they did have a sketch of at least one of the suspects. And I will share that as well. And I feel like if you know this guy, you know this guy.
Okay. Like, it's very clear. You
know, it's not just like, you know, a regular old Tom. Like, he has a distinctive look about him. So I feel like he would be recognizable if somebody actually knew him.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. In 2010, Detective Piccone told the New York Post there were, quote unquote, persons of interest in the case, and that the NYPD hoped that a reward of $150,000 might help tempt someone to talk. But
yeah, I mean,
they didn't.
That's a good amount of money.
They didn't. No one came forward with.
Come on.
I know.
You can be anonymous.
I know. And the money that was raised for the reward was mostly put up by Abe's family, and that offer is still on the table. So.
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
Someone can still come forward.
I know. $150,000. We always say this. Like, that's enough to get away from whoever you're scared of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever's stopping you from confessing or coming forward.
Yeah.
Over the years, Abe's family has questioned why there has not been an arrest in Abe's murder, as it seemed as though police had enough evidence to at least make an arrest.
Wow.
The original ADA told the Liebewald family early in the investigation that the DA's office, quote, had enough to arrest and indict but not convict.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Isn't that interesting? I know, it is very frustrating.
That just sounds like they basically don't have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Like, they have proof, but like, it's
circumstantial. Yeah.
And I mean, I get why they don't want to arrest, because maybe one day they'll have, because if you arrest and charge him and go through like a trial, or charge the person and go through a trial, and they're acquitted, then that's it. You can't do it again. So I get like why, but that's so frustrating.
Yeah, it is. Abe's daughter, Felicia, would tell the New York Post in October of 2023, so just a couple of months ago, quote, "We can't publicly name a suspect or a person of interest before the cops do, but I am comfortable saying that the persons of interest on March 4th, 1996, the day Abe Liebewald was murdered, making a bank deposit, remain the same persons of interest 27 and a half years later."
Wow.
So it sounds like they really know who did this, and they just can't.
They know. They just, need the last nail in the coffin.
Yep.
Like you said, it's probably all circumstantial. It's probably very obvious circumstantial, but they probably are afraid that like a defense attorney could explain the evidence away.
Right. Because it doesn't sound like they have like DNA evidence.
Right. Oh.
Abe's widow, Eleanor, one of his daughters, Sharon, and his brother, Jack, decided after Abe's passing that they were going to keep his dream alive. The Second Avenue Deli remained open until January of 2006, when it closed its doors due to a dispute with the landlord. On July 31st, 2007, Jack announced that the delicatessen would reopen at a new location in the fall of 2007. Aww. On December 17th, the Second Avenue Deli reopened on East 33rd Street with Jeremy Liebewald, Abe's nephew, as its new proprietor. They also opened a second location on First Avenue, and to this day, both locations still serve Abe's famous pastrami sandwiches and matzo ball soup.
Okay, I am going there. I literally want to go to New York just to be able to go.
I know. And I'm going to share pictures. There's like a picture of Abe with like this giant pastrami sandwich.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I just want to like cartoon style it down my throat.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds
it looks so good. I know. I bet it's amazing. And matzo ball soup is my great grandfather was Jewish. And so I had the opportunity to try some dishes, like some Jewish dishes, not many because he didn't cook that much. Mm-hmm. But what I did experience was very tasty.
I love that.
Abe's case remains one of the most notorious cold cases in the state of New York's history.
Man.
If you have any information, please call the NYPD Crime Stoppers at 1-800-577-TIPS. There is still an incentive of $150,000 for anyone who has information leading to arrest in this case. And I just want to say, rest in paradise, Abe.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a, he seems like such an incredible person. And
like he lived a very full life, like a very hard life, but a very full life. But even 64, you know, to be murdered that way, I mean, he still had, I think, a lot of life ahead of him. And it was ripped away for $12,000.
Yeah.
$12,000. For a human life.
Yeah. That's...
He would have just given them the money.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think he would have just handed it over. Why did they have to shoot him?
I think so too.
He didn't.
They didn't. That cowardice.
Senseless.
And just, no. Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
That's so sad. And I mean, I don't think that it's too late. Like, I think it can still be solved because clearly they know who did it. But they just need that last piece of evidence. And maybe they like do think that there will be DNA evidence or something more damning that they'll one day be able to test or be able to like put together, because there just has to be something that one day will get him.
Yeah, I think there is. I think they're holding it, you know, close to the chest, and they're waiting for that smoking gun. And, you know, I don't know. There might be some other various factors involved. And that's just me speculating, but I do share, obviously, just a minuscule amount of the frustration that his family, especially his daughters, because his wife sadly passed away in 2002. Mm-hmm. But I do share a little bit of that frustration because, I mean, at this point, it's like, shoot your shot, you know, like,
yeah,
bring that person in and try to get, you know, try to build your case while they're incarcerated. I know you don't have a lot of time with that. You can't hold people, but it just seems like they're just maybe not focusing on it as much anymore.
Maybe they're just waiting for that smoking gun to like come through and be able to do it. But talking about this case and like bringing it up.
Absolutely.
Is important.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to share it. So that is all we have for you guys for the sweet, precious man known as Abe Liebewall.
I'm so glad you shared this case. Like, I'd never heard it. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like true crime often doesn't cover cases of,
like this.
Older men murdered like this. I'm really glad that you shared this case.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening today. We will have a brand new case for you guys on Monday. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.